Hey, you're listening to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duraglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Hamilton's professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And he is Hamilton's
Decepticon. I'm Hamilton's professor. There's only one. That's right.
Hey, and as always, we're joined by producer extraordinaire Shecky Feldstein.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hi, Shecky. How are you today?
Oh, good, professor.
Thank you.
The professor.
It's a nice green shirt you got on today. I like that one.
Yeah, you know what? St. Paddy's Day came and went.
Yeah.
But, you
know. He hasn't changed it since.
Yeah.
You know what? Always Irish in the heart, eh?
Yeah. Oh. I think you can actually see the stink lines coming off this thing.
See the stink lines. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. All right. Anyways, we're gathered here today, dearly beloved. to talk comics and inform you, the listener, on all things comics. And we start every week with Chris just perusing the new this week shelf from a local comic book shop.
That's right. You're just going to peruse around.
That's right. And
he never
Chris
buys anything, though.
No, he just peruses.
I'm a terrible customer.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And anyway, Shecky, I think, has a new this week sponsor.
All right. What do you
Absolutely.
Got for us?
So new this week brought to us by, of course, Batman vs. Superman, where thanks to the inclusion of Batman, a Superman film was finally successful.
Oh, hey, how about that? You know what?
Yeah, that's all it took.
The original Superman movie was successful.
Yeah, well, I'm talking
recent ones.
I'm guessing that our sponsor is
referring to recent times. So we'll get into it later, but I've heard that the biggest complaint about this Batman versus Superman is pretty much the fact that...
Is that it's crap?
Well, it's crap, but it's, there's also too much going on in it.
And you know what? You may be right, because I'm hearing all three different sort of opinions of either, like, you know what? It was great. It had kind of what I was looking for, like,
Whoa.
Of action.
Guys, hey. Why don't we get that till later?
Well, okay, all right.
And get to the new this week.
All right, what is that? New this week? Okay, right.
Do we have a sponsor for new this week?
New this week brought to us by Batman vs. Superman.
Hey, I heard that was crap.
Hey, when's Groundhog Day?
Right on.
All right, listen. New this week. First one up here, we've got Star Wars Darth Vader up to issue number 18 now. Looks like Marvel is doing well with Star Wars, and again, once they did, you know, from years ago, and taking all kinds of new readers to new characters to different places.
Hey, Chris, this is a good looking book, Star Wars Darth Vader number 18, and it's available at your local comic book shop today.
All right, next up, we've got so this is an interesting book. I didn't think that it would actually keep on going this long. We've got Fight Club 2, number 10 already. Ooh. Now, here's the thing. So Fight Club, the book was written by a guy named Chuck Palahniuk. Yeah. So he wrote the original book, which was then made into a movie with, you know.
Starring Chuck Bronson.
starring Brad Pitt. And Ed Norton. So this one now is Fight Club. So this is a continuation, but it's interesting because it's a comic that's actually written by the original author of the original book.
Very cool.
Right? So I think that's kind of cool. And it's still going. So awesome book.
Fight Club 2, number 10, at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Here's a book I have known nothing about. It's called...
So all the more reason to talk about it, Chris.
Pretty much it. I think it's from a cartoon.
But you're not sure.
But I'm not sure. It's called Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So it's cartoon.
Is that like Ren and Stimpy?
So, but
the modern age.
For the modern age.
With people with giant heads on it and things like that. It's
that's their sort of style.
So yeah, but it's up number 12. So it must be somebody must be buying it.
Yeah. Hey, Rick and Morty, number what? 12 from Oni Press at your local comic book shop today.
Is that almost like a marketing thing where if you started your own comic and, man, no one's going to care for this, two cruds?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's start it at issue 15 and make people think that it's been going on and it's the best kept secret that they don't even know
about. I'm gonna say that that didn't work out so well for Bill Cosby and Leonard Part 6.
Oh, yeah? Is that how that went?
Yeah. That was a movie they tried to pull off years ago didn't quite work so well. So I'm gathering it might not work well with comics.
Well, that's
either.
One of the few things or many things that haven't worked well for Bill Cosby,
that's
I guess.
Very so, true. Yeah. Very true.
I know one thing that worked well for him. Never mind. Keep going. Yeah. We'll just keep going.
Next up, we got Amazing Spider-Man number 1.4. Now, I got a beef.
beef.
I got a beef.
Is it the 1.4?
Where's the beef?
It's the 0.4 part. Uh-huh. I don't like it when Amazing Spider-Man, because Amazing Spider-Man does this a lot, where they have the ongoing series, which is usually written by Dan Slott, and then I said Slott. And then they have like these sort of offshoots of the story that are written by somebody else, and they just call it point something or other and point this. And anyways, this is Amazing Grace part 4. So
I was going to break into Amazing Grace, then I remembered I can't sing.
Yeah, we're all happy for that.
Amazing Grace number 1.4. Available. No, Amazing Spider-Man number 1.4.
Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace part 4. Available at your local comic book shop.
All right, next up. So here's another one of my beefs. Uh-oh. This is like a week of
beef day. Parade, yeah. Man.
So amazing.
Get your bun.
So Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors. Okay, it's at number 1. Okay, so you'd think that would be a really cool comic, but my problem is this is clearly a comic that has been taken from some sort of animated cartoon, and just the stills and everything has been put into print form. So there's nothing really new going on here.
It's terrible. Shows.
Yeah, and they've done this before. The quality is better than it used to be because now with digital print and everything.
Hey, there's a cool connect the dot thing on Rocket Raccoon.
Well, you know, you should take that home and try to see if you
can. I think I might.
Yeah,
you should do it and see if you can get a 9.8.
Anyways, I don't like it when Marvel's done that before. I don't like it. Didn't like it then. Don't like it now.
All right. Ultimate Spider-Man Web Warriors number 1. Chris doesn't like it.
Now, however, if you wanted to, in fact, go and get a book for your kids, if you are an old-timey kind of guy and you remember Sega video game systems, then you might want to buy Sonic Universe number 1, which is out on the newsstand today. And this, of course, is the Sonic the Hedgehog character from Sega from years ago. And it's a brand new series coming out today on your newsstands.
Sonic Universe number 1 at your local comic book shop.
Today. Now, again, another one, if you are so inclined to, you know.
Sure, got a lot of comics today, Chris.
You know, I got a lot to say.
Man, you read a lot last night.
I really did. If you're so inclined to like those old 1990s video games, you might have also liked the 1990s X-Men cartoon. Or the X-Men TV or comics that were going on at that time. So X-Men 92, number 1, has come out today.
You know what? Somewhere around those early 90s, I wasn't a Sonic guy, but X-Men was pretty neat, I hear. Mm-hmm. And my friend had the Sega Genesis with the X-Men game, I guess. You know, you jump around, you play as the characters, use their abilities.
Right.
It's like a scroller.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know if I really liked him or I liked his X-Men game, but I was over there every day playing it.
Checky, I really hope you liked his X-Men games, if you know what I'm talking about. Anyway.
Hey, that's okay. That's okay, too.
Yeah, you know what
it is.
It's
okay if you didn't like the X-Men game.
X-Men 92, number 1, available at your local comic book stand today.
All right. Now, next up, we've got Daredevil, number 5, by Ron Garney and Charles Soule. This is a good-looking book.
Oh, it's a good-looking
book. Good-looking book.
It's a good-looking book.
Yeah, and this is, of course, hot off the heels of the Daredevil TV show. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure there's going to be probably a spike in Daredevil comic book readership after the TV show.
So they just have to make sure the quality's good to keep the gravy train
rolling. That's right.
Yeah. That's right. And Daredevil is one of those guys that's had nothing but great writers over the past few years. He had Bendis for a while there. Then he had Brubaker for a while there. Then there's some really good writers
good
happening
stuff.
On Daredevil.
Absolutely,
All right.
All right. And finally, last but not least, Back to the Future, number 6 by IDW is out. And one of the things that actually surprised me at how good the art is on the inside, because you wouldn't think that they would necessarily give a title like Back to the Future, because they'd probably figure, well, if you're going to buy Back to the Future, you're going to want to give it to some schlup to draw it, right? But actually, the art is very good, and I'm very surprised. Back to the Future, number 6.
They did it justice.
They did.
All right, and that, of course, Back to the Future number 6, available at your local comic book shop. Chris just pulled out, I think he did, what, 3?
Two.
And there are at least 2 more at your local comic book shop today, so head in and peruse the new this week.
All right, what do you got lined up for us there?
We're hitting it back to a little bit of Krantz.
All right, let's hear it.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's some sweet stuff. That takes us into industry news, part one, and I believe our Mr. Feldstein has a sponsor for this.
Absolutely. Industry news, part one, brought to us by Back to the Future, the comic. Shecky's only hope to play Huey Lewis again.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that
is a good sponsor.
That is very near and dear to my heart.
Well, we kind of did put a bit of a ban on that, so, you know, I can't really blame you.
But you know what? Maybe
a bit of a ban?
They'll boycott putting out these books. So Shecky has to be able to play Huey Lewis.
Let Shecky play.
Let Shecky play Huey Lewis. They're picketing outside the studio right now.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris. I know it's only this past weekend,
right,
and none of the three of us, is that correctly said?
Yeah, close enough.
Okay. None of us have seen Batman versus Superman, but apparently it did very well at the box office.
Yes, apparently it did.
Despite not having great reviews. Maybe we can kind of just give our thoughts on it. What, like, it made $170 million domestic.
Yep.
It made a whole bunch of money overseas.
Yep. Yep.
I think its total is what, 400 and something million?
Somewhere here.
Somewhere. 424 million worldwide on the very bottom there.
Oh, okay.
But yep. I find this staggering. It opened at 40,000 screens worldwide.
Holy cow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
40,000.
40,000 screens worldwide.
Now, I don't know much about, like, screens? Projections and things like that. Screen. I don't know much about screens either. But do they still ship, like, canisters of film around?
I think it's all digital now.
Thank God, because I can't imagine 40,000 canisters of film being shipped around anymore, right?
No, I think that's all digital now.
All right.
It's a mind-boggling amount of screens, which tells me the per-screen revenue wasn't that great. They just kind of overwhelmed you with volume.
You knew that was going to happen,
right?
Yeah.
So it made some money. I think it cost $250 million to produce. So I think the whole thing, Warner's, is in the clear in terms of it'll get its money back from this.
Yep.
And I think more important to us and to the general pop culture scene,
right,
and to comic shops as well, is was this good enough a platform to launch DC's 9 or 10, you know, planned movies around this? Because this is the one, right?
Yep,
this is the one that sets everything up.
Now, from what I've heard, so I think Shecky was going to start talking about how there's sort of three different point of views.
So I mean, there's a lot of people who just went and they were entertained. So there was a lot of the fun, the everything, the all great, right? And then there was, I guess, a lot of the people who felt very let down in terms of comic-related, you know, issues, problems, continuity. And then I guess there were just the people who thought it was just a drag of a movie, in terms of being a film itself. So nothing to do with the comic book plot, whether you like Superman or Batman or not. The actual quality as a film was awful. So...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
Well, I guess it's just the suspend your disbelief sort of thing, which was kind of the problem with the first Superman film. Absolute destruction everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking at, you know, any sort of rebuilding cost, you're looking at, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars to repair, you know, all the ridiculousness of what's going on. It was over the top, and you couldn't just because it's a comic book movie, you couldn't suspend your disbelief that much, I guess. I don't know. That's just kind of the three different views, because I got a lot of friends who did go and see it. Opening weekend, they kept asking me, you know, did you go check it out? Did you go check? No, you know, I couldn't get it out.
Couldn't do what?
Couldn't get out.
Oh, you know.
Yeah, the story of Shecky's life.
Freudian slips.
So that was the problem with the weekend, eh?
Yeah, okay, there you go.
No wonder he's so damn miserable.
Shutterbug.
Anyway. Hey, you know what, though? The thing though, is what makes the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe so cool is that everybody's looking for the connections.
Right.
Oh, this sets up that. Oh, did you see that? Like, for example, was there an Easter Bunny in this movie at all? Like, one of those things at the end?
I think there were. There were things that people wanted to spoil to me, but I said don't.
Yeah.
Not the very end. I don't.
In the
know
credits,
about that.
Easter Bunny.
I don't know about the Easter Bunny there.
Did the Easter Bunny show up?
But there were a couple things that we, as, you know, comic guys would assume would show up in the film, like certain character appearances and things, that neat little things.
You know what would have made the film for me?
What's that?
Just like a walkthrough, a Linda cameo, Carter. Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Hey, that would have been awesome. How did I get in here?
What am I doing here?
Is there a way out?
Yeah.
Excelsior.
That would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. Yeah.
So I have no desire to see the movie. I mean, I am going to see it.
Well, you're the big DC head here.
Okay, I am going to go see it. I should say I have no desire. I have small desire.
You know what's going to happen? I've heard that.
What's
by
that?
The way. You know what's going to happen because you have no desire? I think you're going to enjoy the movie.
Maybe.
You're going
maybe,
in
yeah.
thinking this is the worst goddamn movie in the history of the world.
Yeah, I really
and
think
I'm just going to just like get drunk and go, right?
I might not get drunk, but I think it's going to be garbage.
Right.
I think it's going to be a terrible movie.
Yeah. Just relax and just enjoy
from
it.
From what I've heard, there's too much going on in the movie.
Uh-huh.
I've heard there should have been a solo Batman movie. So they should have had
that'd
like,
be cool. Solo and Batman together?
No. There should have been a like they had the Superman movie, Man of Steel, and then there should have been a Batman movie on his own, and then now they've had a Batman Superman,
like a Batman where he's fuddy duddy Affleck.
Though. Yeah, right. Oh, okay. Where it's just Affleck, right?
Yeah.
And then now have the Batman versus Superman.
Hey, what's wrong with Affleck? Why is everybody on
nothing.
Affleck?
I actually like Affleck.
I don't mind.
I thought he was awesome. Daredevil.
I heard he was very good as Batman. Honestly, yeah. I heard he was very good.
I think he's perfect.
I don't think you saw Daredevil.
I saw the first Daredevil.
Actually, believe it or not, I actually saw it with him.
Yeah, we were set up at the movie theater peddling stuff. Okay.
Peddling comics.
Remember, peddling comics.
So you got to see it for free.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to pay money to actually go and judge this.
Don't judge it on that alone.
Don't judge us.
Yeah, don't judge
for
us.
For a free movie, it was
watchable. We wanted to pay, but the guy goes, nah, go ahead.
No.
There's nobody here anyway.
People are walking out. We need to fill the seats.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of Daredevil, I don't know if I mentioned last week, I finished watching the second season of Daredevil on Netflix, and it's awesome.
Yeah?
I don't understand why can't DC do a good show like Daredevil or something like that? I don't get it.
Well, they've got lots of shows.
So how many hours is that?
13.
13.
Well, yeah, 13. Yeah.
So 13 episodes?
Yeah, 13 episodes.
It'd be like 43 minutes-ish each, though.
Right.
There's no commercials.
I know,
though.
But they still format it so it could be syndicated for. Like,
I see. Okay,
TV.
So
they all do it because they're planning that one day maybe reruns will be on.
So 13 episodes, 10 hours ish.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a lot of content. You know?
Yeah.
A lot more than one.
So how much of that can you consume in one sitting?
Well, you know, okay.
Because it ends, right? You can tell that it ends, right?
You can tell that's an episode that ends.
Yeah, so what do you sit through two?
Only two.
Yeah,
no, I don't know. I'm asking.
No, you end up getting sucked in. You binge watch, right?
Yeah.
So we sit down.
I've never done that.
So
I don't know.
If you have a Sunday afternoon, you could probably go through
the only time,
easily.
The only time this was Dr. Zhivago once. I got sucked in. It was a 4-hour flipping movie. That was a long haul.
You never get that time back.
I know.
So
that was a great flick.
We finished the entire series in like 4 days. Maybe three.
Like
okay,
viewing.
So three,
viewing,
yeah. three yeah. setting, three different settings.
Three, yeah, like you know, yeah. you watch like
3 hours
four,
of sitting,
four
I
mean. Maybe five episodes one day, and then you watch, you know,
two.
I think you know, watch two or three, and then you watch another four or five.
And that's a mature adult with a job talking. You know, not that anything against people without a job, but I'm saying like a 18, you know, who has a weekend.
Oh, you can do it in a day.
He's done in a day or two. But, you know, you can
easily finish in a
day. Like there are a lot of people who that first weekend saw it all and just couldn't wait to talk about it with all their buddies on the Monday. You
know? Yeah, I mean,
they
blew it.
I'm already looking forward to season three.
Yeah.
See, that's
the
problem. I think you got to pace yourself. You got to do it. Every Sunday, you and the missus, hey, honey, it's 10 o'clock. Let's put on Daredevil issue 2, Daredevil issue 3, Daredevil issue 4.
Yeah.
And you prolong it. Your wife likes it when you prolong it, Chris,
you know,
the viewing of Daredevil.
And then you have to go through 1 through 4 and actually watch it again because you were distracted during the first time.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No?
Yeah. See, I prefer, you know...
Too many Kyalas commercials for you there.
I prefer, you know, get in, get out, you're done. 4 or 5 different days.
Oh boy, Owen.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's
it's
it.
It's get in, get out, Owen. strikes right,
look,
again.
Look, you know what? On that note, I think we need to have a quick musical interlude to cleanse the palate here a little bit. What do you think?
Sure.
Do you have anything lined up for us?
I think we agree, and yes, I do.
All right, sounds good. Let's hear what you got for us. Superdog, 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 Superdog
What are they saying there?
Crypto. The okay. Super Dog.
All right. You know what? I wish I knew that before the song started. I would have probably enjoyed it more.
Yeah, I
don't
know.
I was making up words.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
All right. We're into industry news part two, and I think Shecky has a sponsor.
Absolutely. Industry news part two brought to us by the new Swamp Thing book and mask set, which not only looks but also smells like raw sewage.
That's just nasty.
They heighten the senses. Yeah.
So are we going to get into that now?
Well, apparently Mr. Segway over here has segued us in
sucked you right into the swamp.
Okay, so they've done it before. They had a book and mask set for V for Vendetta, where you got the Guy Fawkes mask.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then they had the book and mask set for the Court of the Owls Batman graphic novel. They had the owl mask. However, now they're starting to do more gifts and masks and book sets. And I'm not so sure they should.
Yeah.
So DC Entertainment has announced three new gift sets, it's tied to its graphic novels for 2016. The Harley Quinn book and mask set, $34.99, include a PVC mask, a copy of Harley Quinn number one, which collects issues 0 to 8 of the comic series. And they have a picture of the mask here, and it's kind of creepy.
It looks terrible.
Yeah, the thing is, they've really tried to hone in on Amanda Connor's Harley Quinn, not just a generic Harley Quinn.
Right.
And because of that, it looks really weird. Like, I can't... Some things look better on print than they do in real life.
Yeah. And then they're doing also the Dark Knight Returns mask Batman The Dark Knight Returns, that's the Frank Miller thing.
Right.
And
they're
doing that as a mask set, as well.
So we don't know what the mask is on that one. Is it going to be old, crusty Superman, or like...
You know what? I saw the image. I think it's just like your Batman? Miller type,
cowl mask?
With the nose and the eyes, but the cheeks are
right,
clear.
Right,
you know what I mean? I don't know. I mean... Do you have to, like, as a retailer, do you have to, like, when you...
Support this?
Well, no. I mean, like, when you buy it as a customer, do you have to buy both? Or obviously not.
No, of course. Yeah, because you... But I don't... You can probably... But I don't think you'd be able to buy just the mask. You'd be able to buy just the trade, but I don't think you'd be able to buy just the mask.
Oh, I see. So you have to... In order to get the mask, you have to buy the trade.
Yeah, that's
right. Oh, I get it. Well, I don't know. I mean... Do they need to sell? Is it a gimmick to sell the trade then?
And then that might be a good question. It might be.
I don't think so. I don't. Well, maybe with Dark Knight Returns, because really, I mean, that's been reprinted ad nauseum. Like, you can get that anywhere now. The Harley Quinn. I know they're going to be pushing Harley Quinn with the new Suicide Squad movie coming out and everything. But they don't need to. Dark Knight Returns.
The problem there is they're mixing product lines, and they're tying together product lines and mixing product lines.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yep. So I don't know. I don't know whether you want to do that. Whether the book should be good enough that you come in and you want to read the book.
Right. Exactly. Right? I completely agree.
And but I mean, mixing product lines is the trend.
Okay, so here's a question for you. You're a famed Overstreet advisor.
Famed.
Do you think that maybe the mask will, 20 years from now, that'll be worth something? Hey, because there's so few of them made, people may have been wearing them for costumes. You know, is that going to be a collectible down the road?
No, I don't think so. Don't think so whatsoever. But the idea, though, Chris, is catching on.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah. I got an email from... a guy I know over at Rona.
Over at Rona, okay.
Rona is the Canadian
Home Depot
Canadian Tire type place. And they've latched on to this idea big time.
Rona has.
Yeah, Rona has.
Really?
And they see the connection between products and graphic novels.
Oh, I see. Okay, right.
So they are developing through Marvel and DC a few of their own.
Are they really?
And I have the exclusive first here.
I can't wait to
hear
So
you're
this.
Hearing it here first. Yeah, we're having... Rona's having a Thor Volume 7 plus Hammer and Nails exclusive.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah, that's good.
That's good. They're having Iron Man Volume 6 and a gallon of Tremclad.
Because he rusts. I get it. Right.
I don't know. That's what the email says.
Yeah.
It doesn't say in quotations because he rusts.
Okay. Well, I just want to clarify.
It is all weather Tremclad, though. So you might be right.
Okay.
Ant-Man Volume 2 comes with raid ant traps.
Oh, let's see that. So that seems counterproductive.
Very practical.
You think it might come with a magnifying glass or something, but you know.
Well, listen, this is the email I got. I'll give you the guy's email. You can write back with better suggestions. Yeah, okay. But I think they're going with these.
Okay.
And then you have, I kind of like this one, Power Girl Volume 1, and you get a roll of reinforced wire mesh. Some rebar and stuff for concrete.
Scaffolding.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So that's wonderful. And
that's good.
And the springtime now. This one's hitting first. I think it's in stores next week. They're doing Hulk Volume 3 with a bag of Scott's Turf Green.
Oh, I like that. That's good.
Yeah, that's coming from Rona.
That's the House of Ideas.
But what I like there is other retailers latching on to the magic that is comic books.
Magic.
And doing these product coordinations.
That idea from Rona is pretty magical, too.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of magic to go around there.
A lot of magic to go around.
Let's keep on going here.
All right. Mm-hmm. This is big news, right? Should we cover this right now? Do we have enough time?
Let's just dive right into it.
All right. This is the big DC Comics, Rebirth. So they've come out with all the new creative lineups.
Right.
On the titles. So I thought maybe we'd spend some time and do our critiques on the whole thing. So let's start with the most important news,
which is the
Batman, Snyder leaving Batman.
Yeah, I can't believe that. I'm really surprised about that. However, when you told me the reason why, so...
Yeah, he's going over to All-Star Batman.
Right.
And by the way, Snyder also signed an exclusive DC contract just this week.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that's good.
So they've got Snyder locked in, and they should. He's like your... Speedy Gonzalez. No, what's his name? What's the baseball player's name that the Yankees signed for 10 years? Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. A-Rod. When you got a stud, you got to sign him long term.
Yeah.
So Snyder's their stud, so they're signing him long term.
Yeah.
He's their PK Subban.
He really is.
So they got Snyder locked in, and now they're moving him over with John Romita Jr. on art to All-Star Batman.
I like that.
Then they're going to All-Star Batman 2 times monthly.
Really?
But first of all, I don't like that. Why not leave Batman as your flagship title? It should be Batman.
Why not just keep Batman? Why do you have to create a new Batman title?
All-Star Batman is an existing Batman title.
Okay, so but why...
Or was. Why not? Did they cancel it?
No, I think it...
Might have been canceled.
Maybe canceled. Yeah, I think about it.
Remember All-Star Superman, All-Star Batman?
Yeah. But I think that was a while ago. So,
like, why not keep Batman as your flagship title?
I don't understand. I totally agree. Yeah, I totally agree.
So anyway, he's going over to All-Star Batman.
Yep.
And he's going over with John Romita Jr. So that's kind of the big news. Then you have Jim Lee going over with Philip Tan on art. Over to Suicide Squad.
Right. See, I think they're going to try to make Suicide Squad one of their big titles now, right?
Right.
Because of the Suicide Squad movie, the popularity of Harley Quinn. I think
now, do you know Rob Williams as a writer? I don't know.
No,
I'm not familiar with the name. I've probably read a comic of his.
There's a lot of new guys on the playing field at DC these days.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I could... You know, I don't know who Jean Yang is. You know, there's all kinds of people who are over there. John Semper, I don't know who that
is. Yeah, so just to cover the other Batman titles, this guy,
James
Tom King.
So Tom King, he was one of the writers on Convergence, which I thought was terrible, but, you know, go on.
So he's going to Batman.
Okay.
James Tynion. The IV.
Yeah, on Detective.
Tim Seeley on Nightwing.
Yeah.
Hope Larson.
That's good.
Yeah, that's going to be cool.
Yeah.
On Batgirl. The Benson girls, are they twins?
I have no idea who
Julie
they are.
Julie and Shauna.
Yeah.
On Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. David Finch and Mikhail Yanin.
Yep.
Will be over at Bat...
On Batman.
Oh, the art on Batman. Right. Yep. So that's a lot of... I don't know, hoopla, I guess. Does any of that matter other than the Snyder one? Like, I mean,
like
Jim Lee. Jim Lee, he's one of the co-producers, sorry, the co-publishers at DC.
Yep.
He's, a big name. But
that's right.
He's only my sense is this. My sense is he's only going over to Suicide Squad.
He'll start
as,
it off.
Yeah, as a ploy, as a marketing.
He'll start it off for the first couple issues, and then he'll be gone, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be a marketing ploy. Get people hooked.
Yes, the old Jim Lee marketing ploy, you know.
Yes,
so, you know? I mean, some of the other... I do like some of the other people who are coming on board here. I like,
yeah, let's go over a couple of the other titles here, Chris, see what we think.
Dan Jurgens, he
makes soap.
What's that?
Nothing.
No, he didn't make soap. He's a veteran writer. He's been around for a long time. He was responsible for the whole Superman Doomsday thing. You know, he's been around for a long time. He's on Action Comics now, along with Patrick Zerker.
Mm-hmm.
New Superman, I have no idea who Jean Yang or Victor Bogdanovich is.
I think Victor Bogdanovich might be a buddy of Esad Ribbich.
Esad Ribbich?
Probably, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh. Then on The Flash, we've got Joshua Williamson, then Carmine... Gian Domenico.
Gian Domenico.
And Neil Googe.
Googe.
Then Supergirl, we got Steve Orlando and Brian Chang. I don't know who any of these guys
are.
Yeah,
either why.
Justice League, I know
Brian Hitch.
Brian Hitch, Tony Daniel, yeah. I know those guys.
See, this is cool. I like Greg Rucka writing Wonder Woman.
Yep. Yeah, I like that. And Liam Sharp, he's been around for a long time. And Nicholas Scott's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and our good friend Francis Manapul,
yep.
Doing Trinity, which is great. He's writing and
drawing.
Taking some art.
Sam Humphries and Robson Rocha and Ardian Saif on Green Lantern. I only know Sam Humphries as a writer. I don't know the other guys there. Titans, Dan Abnett and Brett Booth. I know those guys.
Uh-huh.
Cyborg, John Semper. I have no idea who that,
yeah,
that
is.
Will Conrad and Paul Pelletier. They've been around for a long time.
Right.
Aquaman, Dan Abnett and Brad Walker with Jesus Mourinho and Brad Walker as artist. I know those guys. And Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor still on for Harley Quinn as writers with Chad Harden and John Timms.
Now, aren't they on Harley Quinn now?
Yeah, but I think they're only doing the writing.
Oh, okay.
I think they're only doing the writing.
Right. Okay. So... I mean, big news. I really want this to do well. Obviously, everybody wants it to do well. A lot of attention, obviously, on the big Bat titles.
Yep.
Which of these other ones down here do you think has a shot, like has some longevity, honestly?
Honestly?
Like, I, as you and I just discussed, Jim Lee, he's gone. Suicide Squad will last 5-6 issues with him.
Yep. I think Action Comics with Dan Jurgens, that'll last for a bit.
Yeah, I think that has a shot,
Justice
too.
Justice League with Brian Hitch.
Yeah, I like that, too.
Greg Rucka, Wonder Woman, could be good.
I like that, too.
Obviously, Francis Manapul, I think that'll be good.
Mm-hmm. Trinity would be the Wonder Woman.
Batman, Superman.
Yeah.
And I think that, obviously, Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor on Harley Quinn will last. And I think that anything with Dan Abnett, he's a pretty good writer. He's been around a while. I think anything he touches will.
Hey, yeah, bet you got that coffee ready.
That's an old. What is
that's
that?
That's an old.
Abbott and Costello.
Hey, yeah, bet.
Yeah. Yeah, bet.
Who's on first?
Yeah. All right. Well, we wish DC well.
You know, there are a lot of new changes going on in DC these days with rebirths and things like that. And but you know what? You know what never changes.
What never changes?
It seems to be your knowledge of comics, which is why I have a Stump the Chump.
Hey ho!
Walt's knowledge is always on point.
Well, we'll soon find out.
All right, there, all right. Owen.
Stump the Chump. Here we go.
So what you're doing here is asking me.
I'm going to ask
questions about comic books.
That's correct.
And I'm supposed to answer
if you know the answers or not.
All right,
Shecky. If Walt cannot answer, you may step in.
I wouldn't want to step on his toes.
No. I want to see.
I got corns.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask you questions. We should have a wager. We should have a wager if you actually know the answer.
How about one of these Coca-Colas?
Okay. Tell you what. If you get them all right, I will buy you a Coca-Cola.
Ooh.
All right? So let's start with the first one. First one might be.
That's a good place to start.
First one might be a little bit difficult for you. I mean, I'm not so sure if you're going to get it. But you might, because I think it's an important thing in comics.
Already starting with the trash talk. Well,
so I know, what is the name? What is the name of the equipment apparatus that the Flash uses to travel through time?
That would be the teleporter.
No, that is incorrect.
That would be the transponder.
Is it the
that
DeLorean?
Would be the time warp? That would be the going to say the DeLorean.
Do you know that before it was supposed to be a DeLorean, it was supposed to be a fridge? He was supposed to travel through
a
time.
Fridge.
Yeah,
a fridge.
Fridge.
No,
Herbie the Love Bug.
No. You're you know what? You're just guessing.
Hold on. Nikes.
No. The answer is
I give up.
Cosmic treadmill.
Pardon?
The cosmic treadmill.
The cosmic treadmill. I did not know that. I'm going to write that down because
he runs so fast.
Might be in a crossword puzzle next week.
I think it might be. Yeah.
All right. So, Walt, the next question. This is actually a bit of a throw out to you because I actually read an article that you posted, and I was somewhat impressed.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So, what is the first appearance of the Golden Age Marvel Thor?
Oh, the goal. I wish I paid attention
You get someone else to write that article.
Yeah, see? That's the problem when I say, hey, Mike, can I just pretend I wrote this?
See?
That is Chris in Venus Comics number 12.
Mm.
Venus Comics was an Atlas title from 48 to 52. I think it was like more of a romance type of title at the beginning, and then it went sci-fi. And there was an issue number 6. I think Stan Lee was writing at that time.
Okay.
And I think issue number 6 introduced Loki.
Right.
And he was just in like a story.
Okay.
And then in issue 12, Loki and Thor were actually in two panels in the story.
But
the fact that it's Stan Lee.
Right.
And a decade later, he writes Thor
but
and Loki.
It's not the Donald Blake Thor. It's
no.
not the Thor that we know and love today.
But it's still Thor.
But it's still a Thor.
It's still... What do you mean, a Thor? There's only one Thor.
Okay, well, clearly there's not, because it's not
No,
the same
I'm sorry,
Thor.
But there is.
You know, I'm not going to get philosophical on here. How can there be more than one Thor? How can there not be more
than one Thor? Well, there's one Thor. There's one Norse god of thunder, Thor.
Well, but the Marvel Thor is not the same as the Thor that we saw...
Yeah, sure he is. He just changed.
There's a female Thor right now. Are you trying to tell me the same Donald Blake is the same as a female Thor right now, Jane?
You got a good point there, Chris.
Yeah,
I can't argue that.
Okay. This bit has broken down before the end of the second question.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, listen, you know what I'm doing here, Chucky? I got this one right, so I'm trying to stretch it out a little longer.
Uh-huh. All right, here we go.
Stretching it out, Chucky.
Yeah, I know you like to do that
a lot.
To
pull it out.
Uh-huh.
What is the first appearance of Hellboy?
Hellboy!
Tough question.
Oh, I know it is, and it's... Chris, I don't know the exact name of it, but I can tell you that it is from San Diego Comic-Con, a sampler of some sort, or a San Diego Comic-Con issue. It was like the comic book at the San Diego Comic-Con, and it introduced Hellboy, and I forget the year, but that's when it was first. It wasn't a Hellboy comic by Dark Horse. It was a San Diego Comic-Con.
You are correct. So, in fact, it came out in San Diego Comic-Con Comics number 2.
There you go.
This is when Dark Horse was promoting their Legends line of comics, and so all the creators who were doing one of those had a little tiny story in that San Diego Comic-Con Comics number 2.
Right.
And so, like, Monkey Man and O'Brien first appeared there as well, and so Hellboy, that was the first appearance of Hellboy.
So Mignola did
Hellboy.
Yeah. Yay, 2 for 3, Chucky.
This is going to be a good episode for you.
Oh, right on.
Okay,
right on.
First appearance. What is the first appearance of?
I'm going to make my mom listen to this.
Oh boy.
what he's saying? Never mind, Mom. I just got it right.
That's all you need to know. What is the first appearance of Aqualad?
Aqualad. They say in Cologne, shies.
I know you'd get Aquaman, but I don't know if you get Aqualad.
Well, Aqualad is the boy wonder of the sea.
The boy wonder of the sea. Interesting.
He was in... No, Quisp was in number 2. His first appearance, Quisp. Aqualad would have been... Like, give me a hint. Don't tell me, but give me a hint. Is it in Aquaman proper?
No.
Is it in Morphun?
No.
So it's in Showcase?
No.
I give up.
Adventure Comics?
Oh!
Adventure
260?
Comics 269.
Ah.
Came out in 1960, though.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I did not know that.
Now, I'll give you the... So, who was the...
Why drag me through the mud artist? Now? Why drag me through the mud?
It might be Clayton Half.
Who was the artist that created this character?
Quentin Tarantino.
Ramona Freyden.
Who?
Ramona Freyden. It was one of the few female artists that worked back in the time, so that's why you should know who it is.
Ramona?
Freyden. Okay. F-R-A-D-O-N.
Ramona Freyden.
Yeah.
Okay, I got to write that one down. I'll just tell my mom to go make me a sandwich during this part.
When that part comes up.
Mom, I'm sure I'm hungry. Oh, I go make a sandwich for
you. All right, so next question. There's more of a story that you need to explain to this a little bit on this one, but not a big one. But
gather around, kids. I'm going to tell you a story.
So you know how they have the Batcave? So, and their Batman likes to have various trophies in the Batcave.
Yeah.
So
he doesn't like to talk about those.
Why is there a giant dinosaur in the Batcave?
Well, that's easy. Because when he was small,
yes,
he went to the Natural Museum of History, and he stole the damn thing.
Oh, that's wrong.
It's wrong?
No.
In one of the imaginary stories,
okay,
he traveled back in time.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And he killed the damn thing.
Oh, and brought it back.
And
then had it stuffed. Right, okay.
Is that it?
No.
No. Okay. In a Dell DC crossover, he guest starred with Turok.
Oh, I like that.
And together they killed it.
That would have been great.
Bagged it.
Yeah.
And brought it back.
Nice.
And stuffed it.
How did you know?
Bagged and stuffed.
Yeah. No, that is also incorrect.
Damn.
Okay. Do you want to know the real answer?
I was getting to
it. All right, go ahead.
Okay, no, you go ahead. No, you have it your way. Go ahead.
You clearly know the answer, so you go ahead.
Actually, I don't.
Oh, that's what I figured. Okay. Look, so it's a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and it comes from an adventure that Batman had called On Dinosaur Island in Batman number 35 from 1946. Mm. You might want to write that down. Maybe that's a good undervalued spotlight for you.
Batman there. Number 46.
Wait, so was it 35?
You just said number 46.
In 1919.
So now we are getting somewhere.
A guy who thinks he's a
A number 35 who thinks he's a 46?
So was the thing supposed to be living at the time?
No, it was Dinosaur Island was an animatronic dinosaur. A mechanical dinosaur.
Ah, mechanical.
It's like one of those Scooby-Doo episodes.
Okay.
Zoinks?
Now, I knew you wouldn't get those. Shippers. I want to give you some more confidence now.
Uh-oh. Don't word it like that, Chris, because if I don't get it, I look like a doof.
Okay, you'll get this one. You'll get this one.
A doof word? Is that a word?
Sure.
See, now you're wondering if you sound like a doof.
Right.
You know how you sound like a doof?
Mm-hmm.
Is when you wonder if doof is a word.
That's a good point. Read the damn question, all right?
What's the first appearance of the Submariner?
The Submariner. Okay, I know that one. People think it's in Marvel Comics number one, but it's not. It's in a thing called, it's a giveaway that they gave away at the movie theaters called, in 1939, called Motion Pictures Funnies Weekly.
Correct.
Yes.
April 1939.
Yeah, and there are like 10 known copies.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's pretty expensive comic.
Pretty scarce.
I thought that was the sauce that they put on the meatballs at the Subway.
The Submariner?
Yeah.
I'd like to have some Submariner on my sub,
please. Yeah, well, that's what I asked for.
That's you got to be careful where you ask for that.
Yeah, I know.
If you're not asking for it at Subway.
I've gotten in trouble other places.
Submariner.
And lastly,
dive!
Lastly but not least.
Let me put my goggles on.
Here's one near and dear to my heart. What is the first appearance of Richie Rich?
Richie Rich, first appearance is... not in Richie Rich number one. It's
correct.
In the thing called Little Dot.
Little Dot, yeah.
Yes.
And do you know the number?
One. I just said one.
I
said Little Dot number one.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
That's fine. Anyways.
I wrote an undervalued spotlight about it 6 years ago.
Oh, is it? How those
That's probably out? Where you got the information from.
Hey, so if people bought those right now, are they just rolling in cash?
Well, if they had bought them 6 years ago,
yeah,
they'd be doing all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because they would have gone up like $5?
$10.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Back at you.
All right, let's...
When a book goes from 800 to 810
yeah.
in 6 years, you're doing pretty damn well.
All right. That's pretty good money. You know, even better if it was $5 to $15.
Okay, but this one isn't. Like, this is from 800 to 810. All right. But we'll take what we can get. All right, Chuck,
let's have a quick musical interlude.
Can you get
here.
Us out of this?
Absolutely.
So that was The Eerie Man Walks from the Spider-Man cartoon.
It was the aptly named Prisoners
for
what I felt I was during that bit.
Right.
Nice.
All right.
I think, speaking of bits.
I came prepared a little bit for you guys
did
today.
You?
It's spring officially now.
And
the spring.
Sun, the sun has finally, what is it, Sean?
Shown
me the light. anyway, so you know, I was thinking of clearing out some of the extra riffraff that I got kicking around.
Okay,
and then it just kind of
this
made
is
me
roommate
riffraff.
You know, everyone's got to kick out raff once in a while.
Yep,
you know?
There we do.
Even superheroes and villains.
So true.
And so,
so
I tried to dig a little bit and I took a poll. Some of the most interesting things that you find at a comic book superhero or villain spring cleaning sale.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So wait a minute. Yeah. So this is like. At a superhero's house, they have like a garage sale,
type
of thing
for spring. Yeah, they get
out
rid
on
of
the
all
sidewalk.
They get rid of all the crud
stuff.
Stuff.
So like Captain Cole's just getting rid of stuff, and it's all thrown out on the big.
Well,
garage
you know,
sale.
We didn't do many specifics. They weren't, you know, because there was some very near and dear to the heart sort of.
Oh,
I apparel.
See. Okay,
but generic things that
generic
you kind of find, you
okay.
can expect all right. to find.
Fair enough.
All right, so top five, number five. Deep fryers. Apparently the seasonal overeating affects superheroes as well.
Yeah, that's true.
In tandem, they're usually ditching them and signing up for Zumba classes. So when all the ladies see guys wearing masks in their class, don't get the wrong impression.
So,
wait a minute. Like deep fryers?
Yeah, like a fried
just
deep
like
fryer,
a generic deep fryer?
Like a turkey deep fryer, yeah. Those are big
turkey deep fryer.
They're big in the
and
south.
You've attached that to superheroes...
They get rid of those.
Oh,
spring.
Okay, I get it now. Yeah, all right, good. Okay, now I'm catching on.
Spring cleaning.
I'm catching on.
Spring cleaning.
Yeah, they're ditching them.
All right.
Yeah.
One thing we should do with this bit, I think.
Yeah. Number four is hired goons and sidekicks. Yeah, so I guess after a season, they rotate their goons and their sidekicks.
Oh, that makes sense.
You know?
Yes.
And they decide who gets pawned off. I guess you know, everyone just wants to stay in the work, in the biz.
Yeah.
You got to keep the dental plan, right? So you got to stay working.
Oh,
time,
so if they know? If they take the hired goon on for the second season, they got to give them benefits.
Absolutely.
Right. So that day before, they just can their ass.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You're late on.
They're scrambling.
Yeah, here's a deep fryer. Go. See
yeah. There you go. That's your parting gift.
That's your parting gift.
Take a walk, kid.
But I don't want this crap,
but I need new teeth.
Nice. Yeah, all right.
Nice. There you go.
I can see that.
Yeah.
And so this one's actually a two-parter because there was one specific for criminals, one for heroes.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
We can handle it.
First is how to avoid getting caught for dummies, which is the criminals. So
is this a book?
Yeah, it's a self-help book.
Oh, self-help book.
Second is, when will they revive me for dummies, which is for the heroes and sidekicks who get killed off.
Oh.
They want to know when they're coming back, and so this kind of copes them through the
so, process. So, I don't know where to begin for the logic of that one.
It's not for the logical, Chris.
If
Chris,
they're dead.
Chris, throw logic out the window.
Okay.
Right? That's wonderful, though.
No, that's
I can
good,
see
that's
that. So,
is there any more, or is that it?
Those type of books pile up.
Yeah, they do.
Unsuspectingly.
So, wait. No,
one day you don't think you have nothing, and the next day you got two books in there you
don't
need.
You're saying that there's a criminal that's going to have more than one copy of a book like that.
Well, you know,
I don't know what I'm saying, Chris.
They're going to do volume
just trying to help Shecky
three.
Out with his bit. That's all I'm
revisions.
Trying to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Number two.
Chicken soup for the criminal soul.
Number two. old training suits. And they're usually accompanied with the tags that read, extremely soiled but complete.
Oh, well, that is true. Nice. Yeah, that is true.
Old
yeah.
training suits.
Yeah.
Because like NHL teams or NFL teams, they change uniforms.
That is true, yeah. No.
So yeah. So what happens? So like, never mind, I won't go there.
All right, keep going.
Keep going, yeah.
All right, and number one is old sex tapes. Yeah, apparently, apparently superheroes and everyone does it as well. And there's so much hooking up, breaking
everybody
up.
Except Shecky.
Other than Shecky, there's so many new girlfriends, new flings, and whatever.
Yeah,
and I guess it's, you know, in with the new, out with the old. And, you know, so I guess they make a few bucks off of selling that.
So they sell tapes.
Yeah, and you know what?
Sex tapes.
Sometimes it's a good way to keep your name in light.
VHS.
I think the big one right now, you know, you heard Hulk has his big tape out there.
It would be big.
Yeah. Oh, no, wait. No, that's Hulk Hogan.
Hold on.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's
nice.
And that's the top five things that I found you could find at a rummage sale, like a spring cleaning sale for,
for
the comic.
There's right beside the hedge trimmers.
Mm-hmm. and the coat hangers.
That's right. That is wonderful, Shecky. That's some good digging on your part.
Absolutely. All
right. Hey, speaking of digging, or speaking of, I don't know if it's digging a grave or what it is.
We're digging something here.
What, this Civil War II.
Yes, so this is...
It's really big.
It's really big. Really big shoes.
Yeah.
So Civil War II is the next big Marvel event happening. Of course, this is, you know, I don't want to say on the heels of, but it is a sequel to Civil War of sorts from that came out years ago. And Civil War, the whole concept of Civil War within superhero and superhero-dom is a big thing right now, of course, with Marvel coming out with Captain America Civil War. And so the Marvel has decided to resurrect this idea, and they're having coming out with Civil War II.
Launch party, Chris. Civil War II launch party that comic shops can participate in. So we have people listening to the show that live close to their local comic book shop.
You're lying.
Yeah, they do. They go and they support it every week. Usually they're buying stuff based on your recommendations on the new this week.
That's good.
And coming home going, why the hell did I listen to that guy? Yeah. That's terrible. But the thing is their comic shop can participate in this Civil War II launch party where Marvel will send them a Michael Cho lithograph. You can have like pieces of build your own Captain Marvel figures.
You
can go. And I'm just wondering, I wanted to ask you, because you worked in a comic shop. You worked in two comic shops in your day.
How many did you get fired from?
How many, Walt, how many did you own?
No, he didn't get fired from the snail. He just got fired from mine three times.
It's an aggressive hire back process.
That's right.
The snail just closed, so I didn't actually get fired.
Is this something that local comic shops should participate in?
Absolutely.
Does it give something to the visitor to the brick and mortar place? Is it value added for the people coming in?
Okay, so why not have a giant party? Why not? You know, if this is going to be a big launch party, you know, why not get, you know, clowns and magicians in and streamers, maybe a stripper or two.
Nice.
Just have a great big old family occasion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think anything you do, I just don't know. I'm reading what the paraphernalia that the publishers give you.
Well, okay,
I haven't looked at whether that paraphernalia costs the retailer money or not.
So the thing, I mean, if it's relatively cheaply priced for the retailers, why not? But I don't think the retailers should be expected to go out and buy 1,000 pieces of the number one part of the Captain Marvel figure.
Right, to get a Cho lithograph, right?
Or whatever, yeah.
Now, the thing is, here's the thing. Marvel is tied to selling a lot of these in the comic book monthly format.
Right.
Okay. The only place they can sell monthly format comics other than online is local brick and mortar comic shops.
Right.
They hate that, first of all, because they hate brick and mortar comic shops, is my sense.
Right.
Right. So it's almost like, oh, you know what? These brick and mortar comic shops don't know nothing. They don't know how to sell anything.
Right.
We're going to help them. By,
do you think so?
I don't know. That's kind of the sense
I
got.
You know what I'm looking at with this? This is honestly Shecky's honest 2 cents.
Shecky's 2 cents. Shecky's honest 2 cents. It's going to be a new segment. Yeah. Shecky's 2 cents.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We can have a cha-ching.
Cha-ching.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So you know how we talked a few weeks ago, Batman versus Superman, they did the big box store, like the Indigo or whatever, or Barnes & Noble. Barnes & Noble. And they did their big release, and we were concerned if they start doing this really well, they might actually get a lot of attention kind of pulled from the retailers and the hobby shops and the comic stores, who this whole industry is focused around in the beginning, but now they're getting rooted out. This might be a good way that, you know, the retailers now have their own thing as well. I like the idea of a retailer getting something to fight back against.
No, I like it too. I think it's good. I think, though, on top of this, the retailers have to kind of modify it to their situation, to where they live, and add something more to it, right? Not just, we're going to do what Marvel gives us and this stuff. But, like Chris says, hookers and and you know, add something to it.
I think it said strippers, not hookers.
Is that what you said? Okay.
But, you know, hey, you know what? If you happen to have balloons. A store in Vegas, hookers and balloons.
Balloons and hookers.
Let's, you know, okay, so here's, I'm rereading this, and it says Marvel is offering a party kit, which includes promotional postcards, exclusive lithographs. So it seems like you only get a chance to really buy one kit.
Yeah. So it's like, hey, $50 gets you your kit.
So whatever. I do have a bit of a problem with that, because now you get one piece of this Captain Marvel figure, so that means that like, you know, is that an exclusive piece? Is it you're going to be able to get it anywhere else, or is that it?
Yeah, see, I don't know. The details aren't there. Yeah. The concept is correct. The premise is right. The thought is what counts, and I guess, in this thing.
This is one of the early times this has ever been tried, so maybe it gets, you know, the edges get roughed out and...
Let's hope so.
I think your store should hire...
The hookers?
yes, the hookers, as well as a cake. And party streamers.
Let him eat cake, Marty.
And perhaps a magician.
Checky. Sorry.
Speaking of magicians, I think it's time for this show to disappear.
See what it did. Already that time.
That's the best. Excellent segue. Turned, Chris.
Hey, listen, Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, engineered by Chris Owen. You're listening to us on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. We're on comicbookdaily.com, getthepointradio.com. Go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day.